Allen on the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com in proud partnership with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Ladies and gents, I met this guy online a while back, and we had a Skype chat, and we were basically sitting there the whole time just cracking up laughing and just having a barrel of laughs, really, talking about amusing things like genocide and assassination. his name is Seamus Coogan, and he joins us now live from the fabulous Palmerston bloody north. Seamus, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me back again, then, guys. It's good to hear your voices. Mind you, I hear your voices every day. You know what I mean, when I listen to the show. So, but it's good to actually be able to communicate with you again. So,
yeah, you must be pretty sick of them by now, huh?
Oh no! You've got great radio presence, I would say. You know, that would be the term. So it's all good, eh? And how have you guys been? Anyway, I just want to say one thing: the show has just been getting better and better in terms of the people that you guys have been having on. It's a credit to both of you and the pulling power that you've had. Like, I thought the best one that I've heard recently had to be my mate Joe Green when you got him on, guys. And that was a fun interview too, but he's a great guy, and it was just good to hear him go for it. And, no, full credit, man. You had Jason Burmis on the other day. And I'm not a huge fan of Burmis, but I do like him, and in a way.
What makes you say that, Seamus, in case Burmis is listening?
No, if he is, I couldn't really give two pennies. But I do I think his heart's in the right place if some of his historical information isn't, would be the term. Because, that one, his latest one of his, The Invisible, was it Invisible Empire, was it?
An Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined.
Yeah, well, look, here's one for you, because I got in trouble with a few mates last time I spoke to you guys. They just reckon that I went off on a ramble, so I'm going to have to be a little bit more direct about what we'll talk about today, guys. So we'll stick to the Kennedy thing, and the first one that I'll talk about is Jason Burmis's Invisible Empire. In that film, in that documentary that he made a bit of an error. There's a speech that's used in it with Kennedy discussing secret societies and all that. Can you guys remember that segment of the film?
Yeah.
Claim that he was referring to the communists rather than secret societies.
Yes, yeah. That's precisely what he was doing. That's cool, man. And see, that's in my piece on a certain person with the initials of AJ that I did. And you could look into that there. And but that was when I mentioned Burmis as well in part of it.
I think the message is still clear, this whole idea of a new world order and secret societies. I mean, the inference is there everywhere. I mean, like Burmis said, he only used about a third of the B-roll he had of these politicians calling for a new world order, mentioning new world order mid-sentence. Obviously, George Bush Sr., that was his grand vision. The term 1,000 points of light also, when they use the term 1,000 points of light, I mean, you can't make the mistake that they're referring to commies or something. I mean, that's a clear occult reference
there. No, for sure. I think that with the 1,000 points of light and those sorts of references too, it goes back to what we discussed about secret societies, wasn't it, Will, the other week? It was like, I've got no doubt that some of that stuff happens. I've got no doubt that some of these people are referring to this sort of thing. When they're talking about the New World Order, though, I think it's like everybody's vision of utopia. I think we've all got a different one. And so when one of these guys says, oh, there's going to be a New World Order happening, he's probably thinking, oh, great, it's going to be my vision of the future. I think everybody's got their own different version of reality. Like, for example, I'd say that John Kerry's version of a New World Order, for example, would be in George Bush's as hell, you know, or would have been, you know. So I'm not saying, but that completely kind of, it's just different kinds of strokes, different folks. So when it comes down to that New World Order stuff, like I said before, it's a nebulous world order. I mean, how many different think tanks and groups are there? There's only for about 500 of them. And that was also explored in the Burmis piece that I did. Maybe to do Jason justice, maybe we should get him on and have a debate with him here or something like that. I would really like that.
Well, Jason's a master debater. I mean, he's got a good mind on him. But no, I mean, if I know your point, and I've thought about this long and hard too. I mean, and I don't say because someone says New World Order, they're all in the same cabal, you know, masturbating in the same coffin or anything. But hey, at the same time, that's what they do. And the New World Order is broken up into different front companies, holding companies, and organizations. For that very reason, because they are the illumination of 1,000 points of light, and then they come to they don't put all their eggs in one basket. You know, they're not that stupid, but they have the overruling theme that is their occult wisdom, and Lucis Trust gather it, and the Golden Dawn use it, and the OTO use it over here, and this, you know, the Jesuits might use it, and the Templars may use it, and. But they're all working towards a common theme they call the Great Work.
Oh, it's funny if you go into the – because you're going really into the Masonic kind of things, aren't you, there? But, I mean, it's almost like you said before, they put all their eggs in the one basket. You're talking about masturbation in this instance. They're probably putting all their seed in one coffin. the problem that I – like I said, the problem that I have when you try and get into too much of the occult stuff and all that sort of thing is that a lot of it's actually been made up. There's a lot of authors out there that are just that have quite literally, in my opinion, have come up and dreamt up some really silly stuff. And of course, you've heard some people refer to the New World Order, quite literally. You've heard people mention all sorts of other things. And I'm trying to turn off my little thing with the here, guys. I'm just getting those little pop up noises.
It's in your notifications there. We conduct the show via Skype, ladies and gentlemen. But moving on, there was also a couple of articles that you sent us through today. The Dark Legacy of John Hankey by Seamus Kurgan. Who is John Hankey?
Well, see, John Hankey's an interesting fellow, and this is what I was trying. This is what before Will and I went off on a little path. What we were trying to do. And this is no fault of Will's, actually. We were talking about this viral video last time, and it was called JFK2, and that's been put out since about roughly 2004. And now the research community, in terms of the JFK stuff, it's been around for a while now, but no one had actually really looked at this video and had actually commented on it. The problem was that a lot of people had seen it, and they thought it was so bad that they wouldn't even bother reviewing it. But the problem was that a lot of people out there, just on the internet, they'd be looking at it on YouTube or Google Video, would look at it, and then they were coming up with some really, really odd stuff. And this was all after 9/11. Now, after 9/11 came out, I noticed that the conspiracy field got congested, and it got congested really badly with a lot of bunk information. And this was one of the results of that. Now, this guy, John Hankey, has also done some stuff on Robert Kennedy, and John F. JFK Jr., and he believes that JFK Jr. was killed in his airplane flying to Martha's Vineyard with his wife. Do you know who killed him? Guess who killed him? It was a Manchurian candidate flight instructor who killed himself by leaping out of the plane, and then it plummeted into the water. Now, the whole thing, I think there's a possibility that JFK Jr. was taken out, but you don't need to have a Manchurian candidate pilot, you know, flight instructor alongside with them that can kill him and then get away with it. I mean, there's a thing called surface-to-air missiles, you know what I mean? There's a whole, like, mucking around with the fuel gauge, you know? There's a whole bunch of things. But this is the sort of extreme kind of BS that this guy gets into. And he's taken it upon himself since 2004 to become involved in the Kennedy thing. Now, you've discussed it with me that you don't like bagging people on the show. It's not good, and fair enough, okay? But
sure
the issue here is I like you, Will. You make me feel better now.
We rag on the New World Order. We rag on leftists and fakes and shills and all of that kind of stuff. Where I like to draw a distinction is, like, if somebody's, like, got very, very good intentions, you know, I don't just, like, fly off the handle and insult them and say that...
Al Gore may have good intentions.
Truth or info. Oh, well, yeah, he's got good intentions, absolutely. You know, $1 billion good intentions for himself to carbon tax everybody else to death, you know? Loving.
Look, this is the problem. We're going to go off on a tangent if I start talking about that carbon tax stuff. So I'd better keep my I better keep my small mind focused, otherwise it's going to explode. So yeah. I'll just go down this track. And I think that John Hankey, I think he may have had good intentions and all that kind of stuff, but he also had an agenda, you know, the size of China. And this is the big problem when you start getting into this. And this is one thing I've got to remind anybody out there that kind of wants to start researching and those sorts of things. You've really got to start thinking to your thinking that you're not the only person with an idea like this. Okay, you've got to go check your sources. You've got to check out opposing arguments to your points of view, because every now and again, on the other side even, you know, they might be right. So you've got to look at your own arguments, and you've got to self-examine, and you've got to have critical analysis, and you've got to have critical analysis of yourself. So when I got into this about 17, 18 years ago now, I realized straight away that I knew nothing, okay, and I wanted to learn from the best. Okay, and it took me about 10 years to find the best sources, the most consistent, the ones that no one was ragging on. And that's how I wound up with CTKA. And, of course, since I've been hanging out with Jim DiEugenio and Lisa Pease and other people like that, my education's just gotten better. Now, that's one point that we didn't do last time. We could talk about briefly about CTKA. That's the web. That's where I'm from. That's the organization that I'm part of. Not really an organization, but a research collective, basically. And this is where John Hankey kind of misses out. He came out with this idea without really checking it with anybody else. He just saw an opportunity to sell, sell this thing. And he just put out all these different versions on the internet. There's about three or four of them, and with all varying degrees of accuracy in them, or inaccuracy, as it turns out. And anyway, it got to the point where John Hankey was on a radio station. You guys heard of a show called The James Corbett Report? Are you guys familiar with that at all?
Yeah.
He's a nice bloke, actually. But John Hankey managed to squeeze his way onto that show. And then he started running down Jim DiEugenio, who's my mate. But the problem is that Jim DiEugenio didn't even write the piece. It was myself. And then in the middle of this, Hankey calls Jim DiEugenio a CIA operative. Now, if anybody has got their head screwed on, Jim DiEugenio is probably, out of all of the research in the community, is probably singled out the Central Intelligence Agency more than anything. Not only involved in JFK's deaths, but hey, we're looking into, Martin Luther King's, we're looking into Malcolm X's, we're looking into Robert Kennedy's, okay? Not in that order, of course, but there's certainly some involvement there, not to mention other horrific crimes. Now, John Hankey's big sell, guys, and this is what we mentioned last time, Will, was that George W. Bush and the Bush family were behind, get this, this is a bit of a mountain, they were behind the Kennedy assassination, they organized that, and then they also organized 9/11. Okay, that's one of his big calls that he's made. Now, that's quite an undertaking, especially quite a few years apart. And the angle that he was trying to make was that this guy, Alan Dulles, was a puppet for Prescott Bush and the CIA. Now, I've got some friends of mine that kind of go along to it, but they're not, I don't actually rate them as researchers, to be honest with you. They talk a lot of gobbledygook. And this is the point. The Bushes are evil enough without them becoming the manifestations of Satan. You know, the evidence that they were involved in the Kennedy assassination is absolutely scant. There's none, okay? There really is none. And what
I've kind of heard this argument, well, not this argument, but a similar argument from Bomber Bradbury over here. He said to me, was back in 2007 when I was sort of out in the street saying 9/11 is an inside job and stuff, and he said, look, the Bush administration's evil enough and they've done enough things to indict them upon without going as far as saying 9/11 is an inside job. And I said, yeah, that may be the case, but you're never going to get them indicted. And look, they never did. All the leftist causes, we're anti-war, that never got them indicted. You know what I mean? We needed to prove that they blew up they killed 3,000 of their own people on an occult holiday. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's the idea that we don't need to go that far and then these guys get away with it. I say we need to go as far as the truth leads.
Yeah, and we had a conversation with an ex-Marine, ex-Ranger on Waiheke Island this weekend, didn't we, Will? And he said that line that we've all heard before, you know, I just can't believe that that the US government would kill its own citizens. And I say, well, you know, yeah, that's right. What you believe, but beliefs are not facts, okay? The fact of the matter is the US government, right. The US government has killed its own people before its release. It's released sarin gas into New York subways just to see what would happen. You know, they're like scientists experimenting on. Yeah, very, very good guy. And we had almost every single point that he was talking about agreed with. He believes the government's corrupt and all BS, total libertarian. If you come on my ranch, I'll kill you, kind of thing.
He said it. I mean, and his son gave away that he was a Marine, and he's part of had ties to the Michigan militia or whatever. And now he's lives down the road from me, but he still couldn't believe that 9/11 is an inside job. He's like, no, I can't believe my government would do that. And I said, well, how about the fact that they're all in Skull and Bones and go to Bohemian Grove and stuff? And he's like, oh, yeah, they do a bunch of that stuff. I mean, I really think that should tell you the persona of someone. I wouldn't trust – I mean, if you had children or if you had even a dog and it needed babysitting overnight when you went out and I knew my neighbor was into mock human sacrifices – on the weekends, and he's a bit of a weirdo, and he was a secret society member and stuff. I wouldn't give him my dog, But instead, we give them the keys to the country. These people run our countries. It's mad. Right, and then people say, "Oh, it doesn't matter if they belong to the Masons." Of course, it matters. They're nuts. I mean,
okay. Well, I think you're living down the road from a Michigan
militiaman.
Oh, look, mate, that's just the half of it. The New World Order don't want to come into my town, I tell you.
They just want to. Okay, all right. Now, we're going off on a little bit of a tangent here, okay, again, but this is funny stuff. I think for anybody listening here, you can see that Will and I have got a difference of opinion on this one. I think the terms...
We'll carry this on the other side of this break, mate.
Okay, speak.
Indeed we will. Our very special guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Seamus Coogan from New Zealand, on part of our Kiwi Collaborator segment. And we will be right back after this very short break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. My reach is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, I'll let them all die in exasperation, have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them, and I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite.
Welcome back,
ladies and gentlemen, to the fabulous Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, brought to you in proud partnership with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Our very special guest coming at us live from New Zealand is Seamus Coogan, and we're talking about JFK, and sometimes there's a few people out there who are spreading information that's just patently ridiculous. Seamus, welcome back.
No, thank you, man. That's cool. And it's a funny one. Like I've had some good conversations with Will about this at some other time, because it's just so tempting for me to go off into this Will path that he's beating. No,
I'm not making any path here, mate. The path I'm making is a path to power, and that's all I see. And so I believe people should have the freedom to run their own lives the way they want them run. But when I see the elite, when I see Tony Blair, who admittedly in British tabloids channels a being he calls the light every morning, and he rolls around on the ground doing this, and his wife's into it, and I knew Nancy Reagan was into it, and they had seances at the White House trying to bring back Nancy and all this weird stuff. These are mainstream reports. I know you can't always trust mainstream, but a lot of the time mainstream media, they throw things out and then they spin it. About 80% of intelligence is mainstream.
Trying to channel Nancy Reagan. You know what? The ray of light that he would, Tony Blair would see in the morning, if that would be it, would probably be the number two that he's taking. You know,
but the problem is, for it doesn't matter whether you're an atheist or a Christian or a Buddhist or a skeptic or a rationalist or a Francis Baconist, it doesn't really matter. What matters is what powerful people believe in. So I don't care about Scientologists, and I don't join Anonymous, because Scientologists are just a loony bin cult who really don't affect anything. And if they want to believe in spirits and volcanoes and Xena and stuff, it really doesn't bother me. But if the people who issue the Federal Reserve notes out to the world, if the people who are engineering my food and fluoridating my water are in some death cult, I want to know about it. Because I want to know the principles they're using to govern our reality. And the problem is, as much as people want to laugh at them and go, oh, beaming, go, ha, ha, just a frat group, just men jerking off and dressing up as women, the problem is they run stuff and they have more power than
you. Oh, no, for sure. I mean, this is the point. Yeah, no, and I agree with – sorry, Will. I've never been in contention of that kind of thing. What I have been in contention of, though, Chief, is that a lot of powerful people that I've heard of and all those sorts of things have been rumored to be part of these groups, and sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. The most important thing I think about places like Bohemian Grove, even in some of the Masonic stuff, is that it's a prime place for you to get blackmail, okay? So you've got to go along with what's going to happen. That's what I think is really important that you're forgetting here. With some of the stuff that they're doing, a lot of it's actually staged to put these guys in some deep, you know, put themselves
in the world's a stage, though. So the world's a stage. I mean, they carry out ritual, like Britney Spears and Madonna admittedly carry out rituals on stage. You know,
right?
Madonna admits to this to mainstream media. She's an occultist. She, and in her music video Frozen, if anyone just goes YouTube Madonna Frozen right now, you can see her doing all these occult hand signs. The music, everything is designed to put you in a beta brainwave suggestive state.
Wow, and they're geniuses. I like the song.
They're genius at it. And people do like it because it has that zeal, it has that appeal to it. But what I'm saying is that these wizards run the planet and the world's a stage to them, sure. And so it is maybe it is a joke on us.
But
anyway, back to JFK and the
put a leash on your boy.
For F's sake, Will, come on, man.
You're talking about here a product of the very same thing I'm talking about. So you want to talk products, I want to talk causes. But so anyway, I'll let you go.
Yeah.
We'll talk again.
Vinny doesn't like going places where people aren't meant to.
No, that's fine, but I think that we should. Because I think I want to try and put this hanky thing into perspective. So for any unsuspecting victims that have seen this on the internet before, they'll know that it's a real no-go. So what I might do from here on is I might just, to try and get my focus, my energies, I'll just quote some stuff from some of the essays that I've written about them, just to give you guys an idea of some of the problems that we've encountered. How does that sound? Unless you've got any questions that you'd like to ask me any further, Vince, about this.
Nope.
Go ahead. Go for it.
Cool. All right. Now, I'm just looking through here. Now, we had this was a thing. This is one of the things that he's been doing, okay? What people like John Hankey like to do is they like to get hold of people's books and say that, you know, that this was in there, that he said this, and he was going along this angle. Like, for example, there's these notes came out, okay, that actually had George Bush being part of the CIA just in and around the time that Kennedy was assassinated. Now, I'm not in any doubt about that, okay? And it also put him supposedly getting in touch with some anti-Castro Cubans, okay, at that point in time, because the FBI were concerned about there being an invasion of Cuba. They called up George W. Bush in Houston, okay, Houston, Texas, and asked what was going on. He said that there wasn't much, okay? This is basically what George Bush said. Now, of course, the CIA made a screw-up here, and they said that this wasn't George Bush. In actual fact, this George Bush that they were referring to was working at the CIA back at Langley. But they found out who this other guy, George Bush, was, and he said, look, I was working at the time, but I was just a lowly researcher. You know what I mean? I wasn't contacted for anything. So this started off this whole thing. Now, this came out in 1988, I think it was, by a guy called McBride. Okay, now, McBride never, ever said, okay, and in the document itself, you will see it, that there was no involvement of George Bush in this thing at all, okay? The document's titled, you know, The Assassination of John F. Kennedy. But that's it. They were just using Bush as being a contact for the agency in that time. That's it, okay? It was nothing. It was routed through the system. If that had been a big-time document, they would have had real hard hitters coming in from the agency or the FBI, and they'd be talking about it, okay? But Hankey's got this idea in his head that it's George Bush, okay, that was organizing the anti-Castro Cubans and all this kind of stuff, and it's just absolutely bizarre. And the document says that they were worried that there might be a raid undertaken by the Cubans, okay, into Cuba after the assassination as for some sort of retaliation or as an excuse for retaliation. The point here that Hankey starts going on about there being a massive invasion of Cuba, okay, this document doesn't say anything of the type at all, okay? It's just absolutely ridiculous. Now, the thing about the document is interesting, of course, because when George Bush became, I think it was 74, 75, wasn't it, when he became the head of the Central Intelligence Agency, he said, you know what I mean, like I had no contacts at all. I was just, you know, appointed, you know, yeah, I'm just the head of it. But that document was only there to prove that in actual fact his contacts with the agency went way, way, way back, you know what I mean, into the 60s. And that's the point. It has got nothing to do with the Kennedy. It's got nothing to do with his involvement in the Kennedy assassination whatsoever, okay? Now, he may well have been involved in something like, say, the Bay of Pigs going on earlier on. But, see, this is another thing. This is another huge problem as well, okay? There's the thing about, you know, the two boats they suppose that they used. You know, there was the Houston. And then there was the Barbara J, I'm pretty sure, and they were going to land on Zapata. Now, if you want to look into all this, Houston was where George Bush was purportedly based. Okay, Barbara is the name of his wife, and and Zapata was the name of his offshore oil company. Okay, fair enough. People can say, "Oh, that was George Bush." Now, the person that made that allegation was a guy by the name of Colonel Fletcher Prouty, whom we discussed briefly before on the last show that we did. Now, the issue here is that Prouty, even when he came up with this information, even he didn't go to the bank on it, for one. And secondly, too, there was a lot of other reasons why this thing came about. Webster Tarpley, if anybody's come across the unauthorized biography of George Bush on the internet by Webster Tarpley, now that's a very, very good book. Now, well, we'll talk about that in a second, Will, because it goes off into some other tangents that you were talking about. And not tangents, mate. I don't mean that disrespectfully. But what happens here, okay, is that we've got George Bush and so supportedly organizing the entire Bay of Pigs operation or being that involved in it he named ships. Now, for people that don't know what the Bay of Pigs was, this was the first act of Kennedy's presidency. Okay, now the CIA had set up an invasion of Cuba and they'd promised him that there would be popular support and everything would work out with the invasion. Now, the real story seems to be, and this took place in, 1961, and they'd said to him, you know what I mean, look, it's all going to work out, it's going to be fine. But what they'd actually done behind his back, okay, this was really funny. What they'd done behind his back was they'd knew that the invasion, in actual fact, wasn't going to work. They'd actually set it up for a formal military U.S. and a formal invasion of Cuba. That's what they were really going for here. These anti-Castro Cubans were just schleps that they were going to use at the start, okay, to get massacred. Then they'd come in with the army. Kennedy found out about this pretty early on. He was like, holy crap, no, we're not going to go that way. And, of course, this reverberation comes back, and there's this, and he fires a few people that were involved in the invasion. Okay, and key amongst those guys is a guy called Charles Cabell. Okay, who's, get this, whose brother was the mayor of Dallas. when Kennedy went through there that fateful day on the 22nd of November 1963. He fired General Charles Gavel, and he fired his mate Alan Dulles, who was the kingpin of it all. Alan Dulles, if you want to go back into your occult weird stuff, Will, and Vinny, you want to look into the Kennedy assassination, because this is why the Kennedy assassination is so important. Okay, we'll pull back to the Bay of Pigs in a second about the George Bush stuff, but Alan Dulles really is the glue that binds the Central Intelligence Agency together. That was his baby. He made it. Now, if you want to look into a person that was fairly non, funnily enough, wasn't Skull and Bones. No real known Masonic links, even though he was purportedly one. It never really featured much. This guy never bothered to go to Bohemian Grove.
So wait a minute. You said someone was Skull and Bones, yeah? But they have no Masonic. But they have no Masonic links.
No real Masonic connections. He was certainly behind the test.
I'm trying to that. You're saying Skull and Bones has no Masonic links?
No. Alan Dulles has got no links to this kind of stuff. He's certainly got links to, say, the Council on Foreign Relations. He upset it up. But this is what I'm trying to say. You know, the
What's the logo of the Council on Foreign Relations again?
Is it?
It's a pale, naked man riding a
horse.
It's a naked man riding the pale horse of death, doing an El Diablo hand sign.
No, yes, I've seen that, yes. But that's not what I'm getting at.
With the beak written underneath of it, which is a Latin root word for the term ubiquitous, everywhere, yeah. As in we are gods.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
Well, No Masonic.
I'm not saying I'm not saying that at all, Will, that you're completely misrepresenting what I'm saying. But this guy didn't need those kinds of, you know, the higgledy-piggledy kind of stuff, all right? This guy was just powerful.
Nutcase, all
right,
yeah.
So this is what I'm saying. So we didn't need Skull and Bones, in actual fact. But anyway, I'm losing the point here. What I'm trying to get back to is that this is Dulles. This guy's the kingpin. So anyway, returning to John Hankey. Okay, now this is where Hankey makes a huge leap here, because for one, Zapata, in actual fact, was the name of the bay, okay, from which the Bay of Pigs was going to actually go into. Okay, this is the cove off it. All right. Now, also too, the Houston. How many oilmen with Central Intelligence Agency contacts were based in? You know what I mean? Were based in Houston. There's a whole heap, okay? And as for the Barbara J, Barbara Bush hasn't even got a freaking initial in the middle of her name. It's just Barbara Bush. It's hilarious. So the Barbara J, so what Hankey tries to say, and see, well, you know, Will, you're caught up on it. I mean, he tries to say that J, transferred to either Greek or Latin, actually means two, okay? Because apparently George Bush had named a few of his planes in the Second World War that he was flying. Barbara, go Barbara, Barbara.
And we will get into more of this after the break. Our very special guest is Seamus Coogan, live from New Zealand. And we'll be right back after the break. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tina Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where do you stand? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in partnership with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz. Our very special guest joining us from New Zealand today is Seamus Coogan. He's JFK Research Phenomenon.
What, chucks? No.
But Charles, he's throwing you
well, before I go off onto another stream, I'll just finish off what we were talking about before, if I can recall. What I was discussing before, just people that came back in the break, was about George Bush and the Bay of Pigs, okay, and how John Hankey, a researcher, has made some rather extravagant claims about what we were on about it. And the issues that we've just had, and just before we were about to go, Will was actually quite up on a lot of the stuff that we were talking about before in terms of you know, about ancient, I would say, imagery and all that kind of stuff, especially like numerals and Greek and Latin. Now, Will, if you could do me a favor, I'm just a little bit tied up at the moment. This guy Hankey made a claim that Barbara J, in actual fact, meant two on the side of the boat. Okay, on the side of the thing. Do you want to look into that for me and try and find if J, in actual fact, means two? You know, in Latin or Greek, because I'm pretty sure it doesn't. And see,
okay, what's the spelling there? Just
Barbara. Yeah, Barbara J. Just Barbara J. And that was the thing, but it's just a J. Just do you want to have a look on Wikipedia or something for me, Brick? Because I've written it down, but I don't want to go into it. But I'm quite interested to get your observation on it. So if you do that, but just
J-A-Y, yep.
No, just Barbara J. Just a straight out J, brother. Just see J in terms of what it equates to in terms of numerals. And it doesn't come up as anywhere near two, you see. But I need to get your confirmation on that just for the thing. And this was where it goes. And you see, this is where the occult stuff that Will and I were talking about comes into it.
V is six, you know, so Volkswagen has VW. Yeah. It's actually 3 score 6, Adolf Hitler.
Right, that's an interesting one, Chief. But, of course, it could mean people's car too, you know what I mean? Like, all folks' car.
This is the thing about the occult, and if you apply your logic to it, because you're a smart guy and you have a logical mind, you see, but that doesn't work in their realm, and that's how they get away with what they get away with. They have multiple meanings, up to 7 meanings in general, for any term, like even Moloch. So people argue it's an owl, it's a bull, and all these sorts of things. And they said, oh, Alex Jones got it wrong. Moloch's got nothing to do with an owl. It's a bull that the Persians used to throw children into a copper version of, you know. But the female version, because it always has a male and a female as well, just like the French language, Masonic language, the female derives Moloch to be an owl.
Well, it's funny what you're saying there too, because if you look into the origins of Moloch itself, it's actually Carthaginian. Okay, it goes right back. They had that as well, but I've come across no descriptions of it. There have been some other ones that have been written about Moloch and all that kind of stuff, but the descriptions of it actually being used to feed children to and all that stuff in ancient times, the evidence for it, man, is completely and utterly scant. This is where I start to get worried about some of the stuff that comes through. It makes up for very, very, very poor history, and I think we've got to be very careful. Very, very careful when you start dabbling into this, because, okay, there might be some symbols that's been read into it. There might be something not.
It's in the Old Testament. It's in the Old Testament. I mean, this is the basis for Moloch's in the Old Testament. I mean, this is the basis. It's in Leviticus, in fact. It's in the book of Leviticus. Anyone can look it up. But, I mean, this is the basis for a huge amount of the planetary belief structure. I mean, this is whether people agree with it or not.
Well, yeah, but see, okay, well, we have to have another talk about this, though, too, man, because I'm really into this, and it's really interesting what you're saying about it, though, okay, about Moloch and all that, because it's a little bit more complex than what we could give the listeners justice to at the moment, isn't it, Will?
The sad thing, though, is we're debating little tiny grains in the whole structure. Most people out there don't even know Bohemian Grove exists, and that is not up for debate.
Right, and they can try and go there, and
they'll get shot up.
Well, look, here's one thing that your viewers should, if they really want to look into Bohemian Grove and all that kind of thing, but to get quite a balanced appraisal on it, really, and Will, you should do too. Have you heard of a guy called John Ronson? Okay, what you guys should do...
Yeah, I know John Ronson's a BBC apologist, one of these guys.
He's a brilliant writer, man. He's brilliant.
He went along with Alex Jones and back in 2000 as part of a Channel 4 documentary series where they kind of take the line of Louis Theroux. They take this middle-of-the-line approach. And look, John Ronson actually quite liked, because he knows there is world government being established. But at the time...
some interesting stuff, man. Yeah, he's good.
At,
he's,
I would actually like him for a mainstream journalist, but he's still a mainstream journalist. He knows his place, and he knows what he can say and do in a controlled world, and his little pawn part in a controlled scenario. I mean, people do what they got to do. But Jay is a tenth. Jay just means 10 as far as I can find out.
Yeah. So this guy,
the perfect number.
So cheers for that, mate. See, and so we're getting into some weird stuff, and this is where Hanky, okay, all right, uses such bad history that even if you wanted to understand, okay, if you want to take your angle on it, Will, if you wanted to understand, say, for example, the cult, you get what I mean? The cult, or the occult side of, say, George W. Bush, you know, especially senior, it would just make it just seem pathetic.
Well, he joined the CIA because he was in Skull and Bones. That's the truth of it. Because the CIA was formed from Skull and Bones members after the OSS, and they used Nazis.
That's not true. 1947. Skull and Bones did not form the Central Intelligence Agency.
Yes, it did. It did.
Unfortunately, we're coming to the end of this segment, and we will be right back.
Before I strangle him.